Welcome to Pop Culture Man Children PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm joined again today with my guest, Vin Forte.
I'm here, yeah.
Welcome back, Vin.
Oh my God, it's like I've been here the whole time.
It's like the Wizard of Oz.
Oh my God.
Pop Culture Man Children is a podcast where people in their 30s talk about cartoons and comics and movies, and we're coming up on Star Wars season. Oh, you fucking know we're going to be doing that shit. Also, we're coming up on Halloween, our favorite time of year around here on Pop Culture Man Children.
Sons, hide your fathers.
Oh, yeah. Mother, tell your children. Okay.
Tell your children to see Halloween this October.
Today is a special episode. Today, our topic is media that scared us as kids.
Speaking of Halloween, you should have saved this one for Halloween.
You're
blowing it.
It's not all necessarily scary things. I think when you're a kid, you can be scared by weird shit.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's tons of stuff when I was a kid that I would not be scared of now
at
all.
But you're just like, when you saw it as a kid, well, let me kick it off. As a child, I was scared of Weird Al Yankovic.
Really?
His manic energy scared me and made me nervous.
I can see that.
Like, the way he would go, and, like, scream. Yeah. Like, I'd be, like, I just thought, like, if this man were in front of me, I'd be so scared. Like, what's he gonna do? Is he gonna kill my family? Is he gonna hurt me?
Yeah.
I was truly scared of him.
Well, I would say right off the bat, one that I think a lot of people were scared by is Large Marge.
Oh. Well, that I think they wanted to scare you.
Yeah.
That's a jump scare in a comedy for kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's interesting is, like, you kind of see it coming. Like, there's a build. There's that slow build of the story.
But it still gets you because it's not just a jump scare. It's like a jump scare, but it's not what you were expecting because it's like the stop motion claymation.
Yeah, it's so good looking.
Oh, the Chiodo brothers, they knew what they were doing.
Is that who did it?
Yeah, the same, the people who did Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Okay.
Which was, I guess, billed as a horror movie, but that was not scary.
Yeah, it's really more of a comedy.
Yeah.
What else was I scared of? Oh, so, I always talk in the show about how much I loved Master Universe. I had a weird time where, like, I wasn't scared of things, and then I had, like, a cowardly time where I would become scared of things I wasn't scared of before. And I had a weird time where I was scared of Skeletor. The movie version of Skeletor. Frank Langella Skeletor.
Well, he's just creepy.
Even though when I was 4 years old, I watched it every day. It was my favorite movie. My dad would put it on every day for me.
No, that's a weird... Like, there are a couple things now that I'm more scared of that somehow, like, I didn't realize the gravity of the situation when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And probably the biggest example is, like, now I'm very afraid of, not afraid, but, like, I'm not a bug person.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't want to look at bugs.
What about Joe's Apartment?
I'm glad you bring that up because I used to love that movie.
Yeah.
And now if I catch it on TV, I'm just like, you're going right away. Like,
it gives you the willies.
Gives me the willies.
Yeah.
Another thing that scared me on TV and would probably still scare me now, in fact, I know it would scare me now, is when I wasn't even a kid. I was in high school.
Yeah.
I was watching Conan one night. And
okay, I'm with you.
And he brought on one of the animal experts. And I'm watching, like, this is cool. And then he's like, okay, we're going to bring out a frog now. And I'm like, yeah, I like frog. Frogs are cool. Then he's like, oh, by the way, this is, like, the world's second biggest frog. And it's this giant frog.
Whoa.
But because it's so giant, it has what I can only describe as human-like eyes.
Oh, God.
And it really, like, I instinctively, like, shot my eyes to the ground. Like, I could not look up at the TV. I was, like, grabbing around for the remote.
Oh, my God.
Like, I could not, like, just seeing a second of it.
Yeah.
Was enough for me to just be like, this ruined my week.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Wow, that's so funny. Wow. Yeah, it's amazing when you're a kid, like, the stuff that'll just, like, get you. But, like, in that weird, like, you might not even know why it's scaring you.
I've thought about this a lot, and I think that a lot of what scared me as a kid and stuff, which is probably why I respond to this in horror movies now, is anything that involves the uncanny valley, whether intentional or not.
Yes.
Like, that's why Twin Peaks is more frightening than, like, most horror movies.
I agree.
Because, like, even, like, anything uncanny valley, whether it's CGI, whether it's, like, just the way someone's acting, if, like, there's a character who looks normal, but their eyes are, like, slightly bigger than regular human eyes.
Yeah.
Like, that'll freak me out.
No, absolutely. I get really freaked out. Even today, I get freaked out by animal faces. Mm. Like not like Disney anthropomorphization. Anthropomorphization. But more like imagine, like, a human, like, in a suit and tie, but, like, he has a lion face. Mm. Like, that. And I think that's what's freaking people out about cats, too, by the way. That would get me.
Bad CGI, like, early seasons of Reboot
could be
scary when they, like, do a hard close-up on someone's, like, bad CGI face.
Jaws completely scared me of the water, even pools.
Mm.
Like I remember my uncle had a pool when we were kids, and sometimes, like, we'd be there all weekend and we'd be there at night. And I wouldn't want to go in the pool at night because that's when the shark could get me. And it's it goes back to that uncanny thing, because that's not a CGI shark. That's a puppet shark.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really look that realistic. But I would argue the shark in Jaws is scarier because it is uncanny.
Yeah.
It's, like, wrong. It's you could tell that it's really there. It's not CGI, but it's, like, not right. That's the way I feel about Godzilla, early Godzilla movies, where you see, like, the city and it's, like, the scale is just a little bit wrong. Yeah. That's the thing about uncanny, when it's, like, uncanny, you know, the definition is when something familiar is made unfamiliar.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just that little, it's wrong. It's not right.
Yeah.
I want to play something for you. And this haunted I think haunted a lot of people.
Oh my God. Unsolved Mysteries.
When this would come on, I would run out of the room.
Make sure the lights are on, yeah.
I would run out of the room. That is the scariest music, because it was all, like, bullshit, like, based on truth. So it was like, I always felt like whenever they talk about a killer, I'd be like, this killer could kill me tonight.
He's still out there. Like, yeah. It's unsolved.
Yeah. Like, he's going to kill me. I'm going to die.
That's like, and they've been
the world is a scary place.
That's like, and they've been making a lot of compilations about this lately on YouTube. Uh-huh. The Beyond Belief Fact or Fiction.
Oh, yeah.
With Jonathan Frakes.
We made it up.
We made it up. We gotcha. It was a total fabrication.
I guess maybe cops started it. There was this time of, like, obsession with this, like 911 calls, and cops, and chases, car chases, you know, when animals attack.
Is this weird? Not to do a whole side on cops, but I was watching a clip from Cops not too long ago that I just was like, came into my feed online.
Uh-huh.
And they're playing the Cops intro, and
what you gonna do? Maybe the most racist show ever, but one of the best theme songs ever.
But that's what I'm getting at, is that if you didn't grow up with that song as the Cops theme, and someone just showed you Cops today, cold, how would you feel about that song being the intro to it?
It's weird because
it was of its time.
It's got like a reggae feeling to it. But then the show is typically about cops abusing people of color.
Yeah.
So it's this weird, like, cultural appropriation followed by subjugation.
Yeah. The best thing Cops ever did is there was an episode of The X-Files.
Yeah.
Where they did a crossover with Cops.
On X-Files or on Cops?
On X-Files.
Okay, on X-Files.
It's like framed like an episode of Cops.
Okay, right.
Like you hear you see the Cops intro and like it's treated like an hour long episode of Cops, where like something happens and like Cops' car gets flipped over and they're basically like searching for a monster and like nobody believes them. And then like 10 minutes into the episode, the cops are just like, oh, we found some people stalking around. Let's go get them. Uh-huh. And then it's just Mulder and Scully working on a completely different case. And then Mulder and Scully like follow the cops around.
That's fun.
For the rest of the episode. And it's a great episode.
Really?
It's legitimately great. Written by Vince Gilligan.
Okay, who did Breaking Bad. Very cool.
And that was his idea. He was like, he was pitching that like for years. And then they finally let him do it. And it was like one of the best episodes of the show.
I could never get into that show. It's one of those fandoms I tried so hard to get into.
It's interesting now, like jumping back into it, because it's half like Monster of the Week,
yeah,
half like ongoing storylines, which is exciting if you're watching it week to week, because it's like, oh, what am I going to get? Are they going to give me a little more info? Are they going to do a really fun, like, single episode?
Yeah.
So, like, there's a lot of variety in it. Like, that's a good show where, like, if I gave you a playlist of their best episodes, like, you'd probably like it.
Yeah.
But if I asked you to watch a whole season, it might not grab you. But, like, that intro used to scare me a little bit. And they had, like, spooky shit popping up in it. Yeah.
All right. So, when I was a kid, me and my brother, my grandmother, and my mother went to the movies one night. And we went to see the Macaulay Culkin thriller, The Good Son.
Mm.
Which is sort of a thriller, kind of scary movie. And I was a kid. And my brother was even younger than me. So, and it was like a Tuesday night. It was like not a movie kind of night. You know what I mean? So, some kids, as a prank, took the, or I don't know where they got it from. They took the fire extinguisher.
Mm.
And you know how, like, every theater, like, towards the front, towards the screen is, like, the emergency exit?
Yeah.
So, I don't remember if they were in the theater or if they came through the exit, but just out of nowhere, shockingly, they come in, these kids come in with the fire extinguisher, and they ignite it. And if you've never seen, I mean, there's a couple different ones, but this is the kind of one where it's like this white cloud fills the entire room. Like, very, very quickly, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm a kid, and I'm watching a tense movie anyway, and these people come in, or this person comes in. It's, you know, I'm, like, at the point in my life where it's, like, I remember a memory of a memory of it. And they come in, and they spray it, and it terrified me. It was the most scared I ever was as a kid. I was so, I thought we were going to die. I thought the world, I don't know what I thought. I was crying. I think my little brother was crying. It was a stupid prank, but like it like destroyed me. And for a long time after that, I didn't go to the movies. I was afraid to go into movie theaters because I was afraid that would happen again.
Wow.
I was literally like, no, movies are, I liked movies on TV, but I was like, movie theaters are scary. They're dark. Like, I remember like going to movies and like being nervous and being like, oh, we're all so vulnerable in here. And that really fucked me up as a kid.
I used to be scared of this. I guess these two things kind of go somewhat hand in hand. One less so. Not many. I don't think anyone does this anymore. But in the 90s, some stations still had sign-offs.
Oh yeah.
At the end of the day, where they play the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay. Yeah.
And that used to freak me out because it's like, why are we playing the Pledge of Allegiance and then there's just like nothing?
Yeah.
Like, it's a very weird, like, I wouldn't call it uncanny, but it's like, why the Pledge of Allegiance? Like, it feels very, like, state-run.
Yeah, it's so fascinating what a kid could find scary.
The emergency alert system always used to freak me out.
Yeah.
Especially because it always happened, like, on a sick day, and you're watching, like, The Price is Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is having a fun time. And then out of nowhere, it's like, beep. It's like, beep, beep.
Right.
It's like,
what? And it always lasts so long.
Yeah, it's on every channel.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'll just switch the... No! Like, you just can't get away from it.
I had a weird phase when I was like 12, 13. Or I'd say like 11 to 13. Where like, I started to get into genre. So I was into scary movies by the daylight. Mm. But at night, I was scared. So like, it was almost like when a kid would like ask, like, can I have ice cream for dinner? Like, I would be like, can I watch this scary movie? And my parents would be like, all right, we'll let you watch it, but if you can't sleep tonight, I don't want to hear you fucking crying.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, no, I'll be good. And like I remember, like, I lived across the street from a video store, and like, it was $2 in those days. Mm. My mom gave me $2, and like, I watched every Freddy movie, every Jason movie, and I'd watch it and love it during the day. And then when the sun went up, it went down, and then when mom was like, it's bedtime, I would be scared, and they'd be mad at me because they were like, What the fuck? I remember I went to see... my dad took me to see... I talked about this recently. My dad took me to see Jason Goes to Hell, which I was a little kid. And after that, we went home, and it was just me and my dad because my mom was working overnight, and I think my brother was on a sleepover or whatever. So it was just me and my dad for some reason. And... his room, I could, like, I was young enough that they were like, keep your door open. Mm. So, like, I could see where his room was. And he was, this is my earliest memory of Lord of the Rings, because he was reading Lord of the Rings. Mm. And I remember, like, just sitting there nervous, like, oh God, I hope I fall asleep before he's done reading, because he had the light on. And I remember, like, he turned the light off, and I was like, could you read one more chapter? And he was like, all right, fine. I was such a little wimp. But, like, I begged him to go to that movie.
Yeah.
I was an idiot. It was so weird. It was like I was a different person. When the sun went, it was like I had no forethought. Like, and that time, that's when I got into Tales from the Crypt. I love Tales from the Crypt. But then at night, I was scared, terrified.
Yeah.
And I would have nightmares. Freddy would be. And the thing about Freddy nightmares was he appears in dreams, so it would be like real. Like, yeah. This is what he does.
This is exactly what they wanted.
Like, even if you're lucid enough to know you're dreaming, you're like, this is it, though.
He's here.
Yeah, this is fucking it.
Scary Terry is in my nightmares.
Hey, bitch. God, I remember, again, going back to Jason, when Friday the 13th was really popping, me and my brothers, we shared a room. Because we grew up, you know, with not a lot of money, so we lived in this little apartment. And my brother got a poster, like just a poster on a wall of Jason Voorhees, you know. And he put it on the wall, and I remember my mom was like, I don't know if you could put that on the wall. And my brother was, he really wanted it. He was like, I don't know, like 15 or whatever. Yeah. Or maybe even younger than that. And that first night, like, I was crying and like, and my mom made him take it down, and he was so mad at me. I just couldn't. I couldn't deal.
You know what movies used to frighten me?
What?
Like any movie made before like 1940.
Oh, really?
Because it just
the black and white scares you?
The black and white and like... just like the style of dress mixed with like the weird film stock.
It feels uncanny. You're like, is this what the world ever looked like? Was this real?
Yeah, like watching old black and white movies can be like really creepy, even when like the subject matter is not creepy at all.
You know, have you ever seen David Lynch's Eraserhead?
Yeah.
I feel like he taps into that purposely. Yeah. Like, everything's industrial and every man's wearing a suit and it's just weird and what time is it? It's all so dark and yeah, I get that. That makes total sense to me. I remember when I went to see Ghostbusters 2, my dad had to catch me because I ran out of the theater. In the scene where Sigourney Weaver is giving the baby a bath and the ooze...
The slime?
Yeah, the slime comes into the bathtub and the bathtub, like, bites at them. I, like, got up and ran, and my dad, like, quickly, like, grabbed the back of my shirt and, like, plucked me up. Because I was, like, out. I was, like, fucking, like fight or flight. I just was like, no. And I liked Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, when I was really young, I liked the cartoon more.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I saw the cartoon first. The first time I saw the original movie, my grandmother was babysitting me, and she was like, I didn't know what the fuck to do with me. And she was like, do you want to watch Ghostbusters? And I was like, Ghostbusters isn't on until like 3:30 or whatever. And she was like, no, the movie. And I was like, what? There's a movie? So she put it on, and the first couple scenes, I'm like, I don't see the suit, so I'm like, ah, is this the wrong movie? What is it? But then when the fucking library ghost happens, I must have been a baby, because I was sitting in a Big Bird chair. I had a Big Bird chair. I got so scared the chair flew back. Like, I flew back and screamed and turned off the movie. And then I didn't see Ghostbusters for like 5 more years or something, because I was just terrified of it.
That reminds me of, sort of in line with the Large Marge thing, I used to be scared of the intro to the Twilight Zone movie.
Oh, that's the scariest part of that whole fucking movie, though.
Yeah, because my grandma used to have that on VHS.
Yeah.
She had, like, all these VHS tapes.
I remember, and this just shows, like, how, like, psychologically things can get you. I was watching Psycho when I was a kid, and I'd never seen it before, and I knew nothing about it, and I was, like, 10 minutes into it. Or, no, I had seen the shower scene. So I knew that there was a killer, and I was like, my mom saw me watching it, and I was like, oh, there's a killer, blah, blah, blah. And my mom was like, have you seen this before? And she totally spoiled it. She goes, have you seen this before? I was like, no. And she's like, do you know who the killer is? And I was like, what? And she was like, that guy, he's dressed like a woman. And that, just the idea of that. I guess I was a little transphobe when I was like five or whatever. Or I probably what scared me more was that it was a twist.
Yeah.
That I thought this is the guy and then that's the killer, but that guy is the killer. Like that, just her telling me that freaked me out. And I couldn't finish watching it. Just like, oh my God, just, I guess that's why I think Twilight Zone is so interesting when you're younger, because you're not smart enough to see twists coming.
Right.
So you should be like, wow, well, you just knew it was going to get you and then it would get you. And you'd be like, whoa, it'd blow your fucking mind.
Yeah. Psycho is an interesting movie because I watched it when I was a kid. Even as a kid, I didn't find it that scary. The part I found scary was near the end when it turns around and it's a skeleton.
Yes.
Like, that part's genuinely frightening.
Yeah.
But like, one, it's funny to think that people watched that in, like, the late 50s or early 60s and were, like, passing out in the theater.
Yeah.
And two, I watched it years later in a college film class.
Mm-hmm.
And all the kids were laughing at it.
Right. Yeah, no, because it's black and white, because the mannerisms and the style of acting is very not what they're
like
used to.
Like, when the detective's falling down the stairs.
Right.
And it's that, like, deep focus shot.
Yes.
And it's like, whoa.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I get that. I used to show that in my film class. I think that that's almost a perfect movie. The only thing that kills that movie is there's the weird scene at the end where the psychologist, like,
oh yeah,
he just explains everything that you just saw.
Right.
It's like, in case here's you didn't get it. Like, yeah. And then it's also very problematic by now, our terms now, because it's like, he'd be like, the cop's like, so he's a cross dresser or whatever. And then the guy's like, no, he's not. The mother lives inside his head. It's like, it's all very fucked up.
Well, you know what that movie was missing?
What?
It was missing a scene of Norman Bates masturbating to.
Yeah, I'm so glad Gus Van Sant put that in, because that was really missing. You know what? I actually have a problem beyond how stupid that is. What's wrong with that?
Mm-hmm.
What's genuinely wrong with that is, in the original film, Norman Bates is spying on the woman through a peephole, and then he goes in and kills her because he's sexually stimulated. But in the Gus Van Sant movie, you hear him like jerking off, but then he comes, and that's wrong. Coming would
he would never go kill her.
Right, then. The killing comes from the sort of subjugation of that drive.
Yeah,
like he fucked it up. Like no, like he should jerk off and then get so excited he goes and kills her.
Yeah,
like if he come he wouldn't kill her.
Right. Did you ever hear the story that like Gus Van Sant did that movie the way he did it to save us all from like this weird reimagining that they wanted to do?
I've heard that. I don't know if that's better.
Yeah, I don't know if it's better, because it's like, the first time I heard that, I was like, okay, I guess, like,
yeah,
that kind of makes sense in a weird way. But then, like, the more I thought about it, the more I was like, well, what if they did do a new version, and it was, like, fucking great? Like,
yeah, I'd rather see a version that's just totally different.
Yeah.
Than what...
A shot-by-shot experiment
right. with that one weird new scene. Yeah. Like, and it just... There are... The changes stand out as weird...
Yeah, when you...
Like, there's, like, little... Like, when Norman's killing, there's, like, a flash of a cow.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? Yeah, and Vince Vaughn's very... he's good in it, I guess, but I don't know. Actually, no, he's not, because Anthony Perkins was endearing, and that makes the whole magic trick work.
Right.
You like him, whereas you always don't like Vince Vaughn as the character. You kind of don't trust him from the get-go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fucking bad movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It proves that Shot for Shot doesn't make it the same movie at all. Yep. Context is everything.
Yep.
Another weird thing that scared me as a kid is a specific... There was a... You know, remember how in the 80s they would do like... around Halloween they do like scary episodes of sitcoms?
Yeah.
Like it'd always be a dream or whatever.
Yeah, like Scary Roseanne episode.
Right.
Like,
there was a Facts of Life... Okay. Season 8, episode 12.
Oh, it's the 12. One where I think Blair dies?
Yeah, and there's a scene that's like kind of like riffing off of Psycho where Blair has like her hair is like really high and like crazy, like really like frizzed out. and they like spin her around. They find out she dies. It's like a Halloween. This was later on. This was the Cloris Leachman years. And I must have been, if this aired in 1987, I was 4. And I was so scared, and I would be like, I would say like Blair's hair. The hair is what scared me more than anything. Because I got this, because the scary music, like I got the tone.
Yeah.
But what scared me was the hair. And it would freak me out. It would totally freak me. Like, and it's like, I just watched it today on YouTube. I found it. And it's like the worst not funny joke, but it like haunted me as a kid. Also, you know what else got me as a kid? The fucking Halloween episode of Growing Pains, where they pull the fucking, oh, it was right down there. Oh, there hasn't been a gas station there in 30 years. I remember that happened, and my mom was like, time for bed. And I was like, no, oh, I'm scarred from Growing Pains.
Do you remember the Family Matters Halloween episodes?
No, I don't remember them.
Where they would just get, like, fucking wacky and, like, Urkel. Like, it was one that... It was one where, like, one of the kids turns into a jack-in-the-box.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they had very weird ones. I'm trying to think of, like... Now I'm trying to think of, like, sitcom episodes that, like, kind of scare
me. There's that... I never saw it at the time, but there's that classic Punky Brewster where, like, the girl dies in a fucking... She gets caught in a refrigerator or something.
Oh, yeah, she doesn't die.
Oh, she doesn't die?
They save her.
Oh, wait, but don't they go into, like, a weird world of, like, goblins and ghouls or something?
Maybe.
There's, like, some weird dream sequence in it. There's also an episode of the Cosbys with... I could be dreaming this, but I think there was an episode of Cosbys that was scary, but it had, like, Muppets in it.
I think you're right.
Like, Cliff... ate something bad before he went to sleep, so he's having bad dreams.
Yes. This was a later episode.
Okay.
It was like the Muppets puppet characters would show up and like taunt him or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was like an alternate reality, I think.
Yeah.
I could be conflating two different episodes, but I believe it's the same one.
Is this the episode where he raped all those women?
Listen.
Oh, come on.
He's America's dad. He said on Twitter he's America's dad.
Oh, he's on Twitter now?
I guess they let him have Twitter in jail.
Oh, boy.
He wished everyone a happy Father's Day.
Okay.
A couple months ago.
Oh, good for him.
But there's an episode where it's like a dream sequence, and like him and what's the other guy's name? Edwin? The
Oh, like he was like the husband of the daughter?
Yeah, Elvin.
Yeah.
Him and Cliff are like going to give birth.
Yes.
And they give birth to, like, a sandwich and, like, a soda.
Yes!
One of them gives birth to, like, a ship, like a toy ship.
I remember this now.
And then, like, Cliff gives birth to, like, a big sub sandwich.
I remember this. Yeah.
Because we're men, so we gotta,
like, Yeah. What's scarier than giving birth?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. This is sort of breaking our theme, because this is not from when I was a kid. But just talking about scary sitcoms and talking about problematic people, the episode of Louis that's called Untitled, where... You ever see that one?
Maybe.
Louis... somebody who Louis kind of doesn't know, like, I think it's like one of the kids at school's moms is like, asks him for a favor, and he's like, he just lies to her, he can't do it. So he starts having nightmares, and it's like his subconscious saying like, you should have helped her. But the whole episode is just a string of nightmares, and you don't ever know what's a dream and what isn't. And like, there's a scene, the fact that it's called Untitled is watch Louis Untitled, and there's a scene where he, you know, Louis's very surreal anyway, and he comes out of his bedroom and like he was taking a nap, or he thought he was, and he comes out and his daughters are sitting at the table and they're like, hi daddy, you were taking a nap. And he was like, oh, okay. And then there's a knock on the door. And then he just looks at the door and he goes, oh no, like weird, like dream. Yeah. And then he opens the door and there's just nothing. There's blackness. Mm-hmm. And then you hear like footsteps. And then a guy who's naked without eyes, he has little pinprick eyes, jumps on him and starts like screaming at him. Like he's like a boogeyman. And like, it's the scariest shit in the world. Like it's scarier than any movie that's come out in the last 10 years. And then that guy reappears a bunch of the times in the episode.
Oh.
It's a crazy episode.
It's a David Lynch influence.
It absolutely is that David. Yeah. Yeah. I still like Louis. Show. I still like the show. That's still a great show. Fuck yeah. There's nothing worse than when you know, like you expect to be scared from a horror genre, but like when you watch a comedy and then you get scared.
Well, it's like when I was a kid and watching Twin Peaks, I'd be like, this Agent Cooper's funny.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, this tiny man in a suit walking backwards and, like...
I know. Imagine if you watched, like, riddles. Season 3 in that those days.
Oh, my God.
Imagine Episode 8, Season 3 as a kid.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
People just, like, giving birth to bugs out of their mouths and... Oh, oh fuck. The movie is really scary.
Oh, the movie... I saw that movie when I should not have seen that movie.
Oh, really?
I was in, like... fifth grade, and I was
wow, there's a lot of incest in that movie.
There's a lot of incest in that movie. David Bowie shows up in that
yes.
movie, who famously is now a tea kettle,
yes,
or like a tree. I don't know what the fuck.
He's like a steampunk like machine in the third season,
well, yeah. But in the movie, he's just a detective.
He's David Bowie.
He's basically his David Bowie.
Yeah.
But then there's also like a cabin in the woods that people keep going back to.
Yeah. And the movie really goes. The movie's such a huge departure. Yeah, it's very scary.
Oh yeah, like even the fucking like there's a scene where like they're eating cream corn.
Yeah,
and like that's frightening.
Through the darkness of future past, the magician longs to see one chance out between two worlds. Fire, walk with me.
And that's where they introduce the ring that comes into play.
Yes, like a yes.
Whole scene 20 years later.
Yeah. Fuck, that's good. I gotta rewatch The Return. That was such a great time. Every Sunday night. Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, that was a really good...
I liked The Return. It was good.
No, it was very good. I can't think... It's the best way to put this. It's exactly what it should have been.
Yes.
It's perfectly updated.
Yeah.
It still has that energy of the old show, but it's not...
It takes the continuity of the movie very seriously.
Right, which I know some people didn't like, because they were like, oh, this new season is less funny and campy than the original show.
Right, if you were a fan of the first season...
Oh, you're probably not going to like
it. Right, because the first season's basically like a kind of creepy pastiche of soap operas.
Yeah.
Whereas it then, like, season 3 is basically like, I don't know what you call it. It's like a horror show, basically.
Oh, yeah. Even like the last scene of season 3 with that fucking scream.
Oh, yeah. And he's got that pathetic, like, what year is it?
Yeah.
Oh, what if... Can you think of any other narrative where... your protagonist who you root for fails so... comes so close to succeeding, but fails so hard.
What was the ending of that season to you? Like, what do you think happened?
The way I read it is... He finally becomes Cooper again.
Right.
And now we're off on a fucking Twin Peaks thing. He finally becomes Cooper again, and... He wants to save Laurie. He goes back. He sees through time, and he sees that he could go back in time and save her.
Right.
So he does that, which is like, I guess, like he thinks, I did it. I saved her. But then he fucks up all reality. And then I read it, and a lot of other people read it this way, is in the end, he's in the real world, our real world.
Yeah.
And he goes to the house just through instinct, and the owner of the house, who's the actual owner in real life,
yeah,
is like, no one lives here. And then he just goes, what year is this? And he's sort of like bewildered. And then it ends. You hear a scream. And I read it as he failed. Like Judy, the mother of all evil. She didn't let him change. He changed it, but it ended up still happening. The whatever Judy was doing.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's a weird show.
Judy.
Yeah.
I love David Lynch's like weird asides in that season.
Oh, him as the funniest part is when
I was meeting up with Monica Bellucci.
Yeah,
it's like, well, right. Okay, I guess Monica Bellucci's in this now.
The funniest moment is Matthew Lillard's in the back of the cab and his head fucking explodes, and then David Lynch looks at his headless body and goes, "Yep, he's dead." Oh fuck! All right, I think we did it.
Yeah, any other...
The only other thing I think about is, when I was a kid, I wasn't scared of Jurassic Park, but when it rained heavily, I would think a T-Rex is going to come out. Even now, when it rains really hard, I'm like, a T-Rex could come out of anywhere.
That reminds me of when I was a little kid, and it would be like a big thunderstorm. I'd be like, what's going on? Like, I'd be so confused. And my mom would tell me that there's an airport around the corner.
Okay.
And that it's just the airplanes taking off. And she would tell me this for like, this is like a months long thing. And like, obviously any sane person would just be like, there's no fucking airport around the corner.
Right.
But I'm a little kid, so I was like, yeah, I guess there's an airport around the corner.
Why is that less scary, though?
I don't know.
It's a weird lie.
But then, like, one day she said it when my dad was home. And so, like, her and my dad are in my room, and she's telling me, like, just an airport around the corner. And I remember him just going, like, the fuck are you telling him that for?
What are you lying to the boy for?
Yeah, exactly. Like, why are you lying to him? Like, it's thunder. Just tell him it's thunder.
Yeah.
Like, why do you have to make up this lie so about weird. There being an airport around
so the weird. Oh, God.
I'm trying to think if there are any other things from my childhood that would scare
me. Well, what happens with these episodes is, after we're done recording, a good one always comes to me later on.
Yeah.
So, this is all I can think of right now. But I do think that we have to do a special episode just on Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Like, that has to happen. I don't know why that hasn't happened yet. This isn't media related, although it kind of is, because the media is what influences this way of thinking. But I remember being a kid, and like, any house that was like built before 1970,
we'd be
like, that's a haunted house. There's a witch who lives in there. That house is haunted.
Yeah.
It's just because it's slightly older.
No, I know what used to scare me.
What?
In the mid to late 90s, there was I guess it was like the anniversary of like Roswell.
Okay.
So there was all this coverage on TV of like aliens again.
Oh, wait. By the way, listeners, I'll see you at Area 50.
September 22nd.
They can't stop us all! No, seriously, don't do that.
Let's see them aliens.
Seriously, do it, whip them let's out. Not do it. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Don't do it. The government has like fucking vibration machines.
So really, don't do it.
Don't do that.
Yeah. Plus, there's no aliens there. That's just where they test military weapons.
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Go on.
Don't do it. I love the whole storming Area 51 thing.
The memes are. I live for the memes.
I'm watching right now. I'm into Japanese wrestling, and there's...
Sure.
I know, this is a weird aside, but we already talked about Twin Peaks, so fuck it.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a whole tournament going on right now, so, like, there's wrestling going on, like, every, like, day, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm watching this... Every time this one group comes out, there's, like, one guy that goes up to the English announce table, and he's basically... His running arc during this whole tournament is he keeps saying that him and this other guy are going to storm Area 51. So, like, he'll just be like, he'll, like, grab the mic from the announcer and just be like, we're going to fuck up this group. We're going to go. We're going to put him in an arm bar and get him. And then we're going to Area 51, baby. Kind of aliens.
That's
and
great.
The announcers are just, and he throws the mic back at the announcers and they're like, don't go to Area 51. That's a terrible idea. And his friend who's like a big guy is like, we're doing it. Go to Area 51! You can't stop us! He's like, okay, well, be careful then.
Be careful.
And it's like shit like that throughout the whole tournament. I'm loving it. Like, and they put out like shirts that are like, we're going to Area 51.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like it's like the marathon or something.
Yeah, like just,
they can't
just
stop us all.
Yeah, well, that's their thing. Is like they can't stop us all. It's like, no, they can.
If it really happened, they wouldn't kill people. They would just come with paddy wagons and arrest everybody.
Yeah.
They would just cuff everyone there. I think that's what would happen.
That, and it's like, it's almost like that scene in The Dark Knight where the guy's going to blackmail Batman.
Yeah.
And he's like, I want $2 million. And, or I'm going to tell everyone who Batman is. And Morgan Freeman's just like, you're going to walk in to the most heavily militarized area in Nevada where the government keeps all of their secret weapons.
Yeah.
And your plan is to just storm in. Good luck.
See you guys there.
But yeah, going back, reining myself back in from that tangent, there was a ton of like Roswell and alien coverage around that time.
Mm.
And like that used to freak me out because they would just show like alien footage. And like that stuff was like so foreign to me that it was like frightening.
Yeah. Well, how about this? We'll end on this story. When I was a little kid, we went to Disney World, the happiest place on earth. And oh, we had so much fun, Vin. We went on the rides and we had food and we ate, we bought toys. And this was in the 1990s. And then we came back to our hotel with our toys and we were ready to just go to sleep, for get up tomorrow and have more fun. And we turn on the news and the Heaven's Gate cult had all committed suicide.
Oh no!
And there was all that footage on the news
of their
Nikes, and talk about uncanny. Just all those beds with the white sheets there, and the Nikes,
and the footage of that guy.
Yeah, with
the fucking weird eyes,
and I was freaked the fuck out.
Have you gone to their website lately?
Is it still around?
Oh, you don't know the story?
I know it was around for a long time.
Okay, so when they... Because I listened to a whole documentary on Heaven's Gate. Like, it was actually really good. I think it's just called Heaven's Gate, like, if you look it up.
It's a podcast, right?
It's a podcast documentary.
Okay, yeah.
Basically, there's a big fallacy that, like, the whole point was they were going to kill themselves.
Right.
That actually didn't come until, like, near the very end.
Okay.
And then when it happened, up to that point, the cult was... up and running because their front was a web development service.
Okay.
So they would just build websites by day, be a cult at night. Mm-hmm. And so they had two people who were still working with them and were on good terms, but just like weren't in the cult anymore. Mm-hmm. And they trusted those two people to keep the website up and running so people would see their message.
Uh-huh.
And to this day, they are still alive. They keep the website up and running as it was. Okay. They don't make any updates to it, so it looks exactly like it was in 1997.
You got
to
get the message out.
And I have contacted these people.
Oh, really?
I've emailed with them. There's a lot of stuff that they just will not talk about.
Oh, really?
But what I have gotten from them is that over the years they've had to move servers and just over the years they have to move things around. And
that was like 1997. Yeah.
And they haven't updated anything. Like, they still use, like, when they update everything and like move it to a new server, they have like a big stack of floppy disks that they put in.
Oh God.
And like, it's still like, it's so old school. And that's amazing. Keep it there. And if you go to their website, you could read their manifestos.
Yeah.
You could still order things from them. Order like their Bible, I guess.
Okay.
You can order that. You can also order, kids, don't do this as a prank to your friends and ship this to their address. You can order VHS tapes of the final, like, confessionals of the people right before they died.
Oh my God.
Saying like, hey, don't worry about us, we're going to have a good time on the comet. Oh, like, Jesus. Blah, blah. And you can buy a VHS tape of that if you're a fucking weirdo.
Christmas is coming up.
Yeah, Christmas is coming. Who doesn't want to unwrap that tree?
Wow. All right. This has been a dark episode than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
All right. Ben, thanks for being here.
Yeah.
This is Pop Culture Man Children, PCMC. PCMC is available anywhere you can find podcasts. Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify,
Apple Podcasts. You got on Spotify.
Everywhere, baby. Vin, where can the people find you?
Find me on Twitter, at Mighty Vin.
At Mighty Vin. I'm on Instagram, or the show's on Instagram, at Pop Culture Man Children. And we end every episode by quoting the great animal from The Muppets.
Go bye-bye.
Go bye-bye.